It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
California Wine Country, brought to you by Rodney Strong Vineyards and Davis Bynum Wines. Dan Berger, of course, is here as always. And our guest today is William Weiss from Miriam Vineyards. William, good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
It's great to have you in again. And talk about Miriam. Let's get to the history of it. How long have you guys been doing it?
Yeah, the Miriam family is originally from the East Coast. And Peter Miriam and Diana Miriam came out and fell in love with a vineyard called Windacre, directly down the street from the winery now. And bought that in 98, and they were producing just Merlot out of that vineyard.
Hmm.
And in 2008 is when they decided to build a winery right down the road, and we planted Pinot Noir, Sauvignon Blanc, and now there's new block of Chardonnay on the backside of the property. Since then, also, too, at Windacre, we've put some Cabernet and some Malbec, and...
You poured a 22 Chardonnay?
Port of 22 Chardonnay, that's our Russian River tier of Chardonnay. So this is from primarily from our new vineyard off of Eastside Road,
okay.
Directly below Schoen Farm.
It's young, but it's very tasteful as it stands right now, Dan.
Oh, it's really delicious. I really love this property. Besides it being gorgeous and absolutely worth a visit, and we'll talk about the visits later, a project that not a lot of people are familiar with because... It's been under the radar, and I think part of that was that at the beginning of the process, the project wasn't really gorgeous, and it has become gorgeous.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's spectacular now. It's one of the most beautiful places in Sonoma County, but for a couple of years there, it was not much to see.
Yeah, no, it's the family has put in a lot of work on redoing the gardens and the terrace on the back, and there's a great outdoor courtyard that's very inviting and welcoming for all the family, and we're dog friendly also. So
yeah, I've been looking at some of these photos. It's gorgeous, and you folks are committed to sustainable farming, of course.
100%. Yeah, really, yeah. Big on sustainable. Right there at the winery, we're certified organic in the vineyard, and then as of last year, we certified the winery organic too. So look forward to seeing some of the bottles saying "made with organic grapes" on the back of them.
As much as I really love the white wines, I really think that what William's done with the red wine program is spectacular. And part of the reason for that is accessing really, really good grapes and making sure that those grapes are reflective of the soils they're coming from. When I tasted the Cabernet, this goes back a couple of years, I tasted the Cabernet Franc, I almost fell off my chair. That is just a spectacular bottle of wine. And it's Russian River. And you don't see a lot of red wine in Russian River much anymore beyond Pinot Noir. Now we're starting to see Pinot. Everything's Pinot.
Mm-hmm.
But for you guys to continue making Merlot and to continue making Cab Franc, wines like that really are an example of why Sonoma County is such a special place. Because you can't do this in some regions of the world that are famous for other things.
Yeah.
And I think Cabernet Franc is a glorious grape, but you don't see it as the lead horse in any of these blends.
You know, I've been a big fan of Merlot for a long time, and the hell with that, the movie Sideways, forget about it.
Yeah, but forget about it. From 1991 to 1994, or thereabouts, we were up to 58,000 acres of Merlot in the state.
Wow.
About 50,000 of that didn't belong in the ground.
Gotcha.
It was not very good. So that was terrible. But then in 2006, the movie came out, and Merlot got trashed in the movie, which was, a misstatement by the guy who wrote the book. But then what it did was it changed back again, and then the only thing that was left in the ground was good Merlot. So now you got Miriam making this fabulous Merlot, and it's really, I mean, I don't tell you, we haven't opened. Did you bring a bottle?
I brought a bottle, absolutely.
Oh, we'll pop it open. Yeah, we got to check it out. Explain to people where you are, how to check it out, and reservations needed.
Yeah, so we are off of Los Amigos Road, right off the frontage road off of 101. So you guys all probably driven by 100 times if you're headed up to Healdsburg and Sina. It's right on the right-hand side. We're open daily from 10 to 5. So reservations are encouraged, but not necessary at all. dog friendly. Bring the family. It's a very fun atmosphere. We have multiple different tasting flights that you can do. There's different tiers and there's elevated tastings, and we do tours. So just call ahead and just ask for what you're looking for, and we will take care of any needs.
Right on. And William, talk about your history in the world of wine.
I was born and raised in Santa Rosa, you know, and so it was one of those things that I just kind of fell into it. Nobody in the family was in the wine industry at the time, and I just kind of fell in love with the idea of the lifestyle, and family is really important to me. And so being able to create something that can bring people together at a dinner table and talking and enjoying company sounded really appealing to me. Then I got on the road and started going country to country. I was in New Zealand, France, Chile, cool. Napa, and bouncing around and learning from other great winemakers and just kind of honing in on my own style and approach. With all the travels, you know, there's a lot of beautiful places in the world, but none of them kept me. There's nothing like home here, so Sonoma County is a great spot.
This is really an object lesson for people who are interested in becoming involved in the wine business. We have had people in as guests on the show who came from Minnesota, or they came from Florida,
sure,
somewhere else. And
yeah,
they started out doing other things, wine education, and then they learned a little bit about the technology and then realized that making it was not all that complicated as long as you had the science background and so forth. But if you live in Sonoma wine country and you're intrigued by it, you should check out Merriam, because this is another example. This property is really... You're technically located in Russian River, but it's in a portion of, it's in an area of Russian River that's not ice cold. You can't grow Pinot Noir there. But so here's a young man who comes in to the wine business essentially because he is intrigued by it, because he lives there and he knows the lingo, and he ends up, so it wasn't, you didn't, this wasn't a homegrown kind of situation. You had to go to school to do this.
Yeah.
But you start out here, and it was the industry itself that prompted you to get involved in it. So
a lot of great people in the industry, and you know, I just actually just came over from the Sonoma County Barrel Auction, and it's just it's like a family here in Sonoma County. You know, everybody in the industry, it's a big industry, but everybody knows each other, and it's a great community.
Did you go to UC Davis?
I did a little Davis after I did undergrad at Chico, and did agricultural business business side, and then Davis afterwards. Yep.
And I was at the Sonoma County Barrel Auction myself with William this morning and this afternoon, and it's amazing to see what's actually taking place here. This is if you want to talk about dynamic industry, this county is it. I mean, there are plenty of places around the world that have reputations for making great wine, no question about that. But I think Sonoma County can do it from one end of the county to the other, and in all different styles, and everything that you want is all here.
100%. I mean, that's what another unique thing about Merriam is we're not just focused on one side of doing Pinot or Chardonnay. We're doing Bordeaux wines also. We have Merlot, Cab Franc, Malbec, two Bordeaux blends. I mean, so we're doing a little bit of everything, but what, going back to what Dan was talking about, we're in a really unique area. We're the northern tip of the Russian River. And
right,
so we get that cooler morning, but we also get that warm afternoon.
Right.
So especially for Merlot, I mean, that's another thing about Merlot is it actually benefits from having a little bit of a cool morning, cool evening going on to it. It helps it allow it to slowly mature. And then, but again, we're blessed with a lot of sunshine here in California, so we always get the sugars that we need.
Dan?
I have a tremendous appreciation for what's taking place in all of the Russian River. I think Russian River is a very special place. But it's really, and I don't know how you think about it, William, but I think it's probably about five different regions. Russian River has five individual sub-regions. Yes. One of those regions is down around Bodega Bay, which is really cold. Then you got Middle Reach, which is sort of, I'd call it lukewarm to cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got the upper northern part. You got the eastern edge, which is actually part of Santa Rosa. So Santa Rosa is located there. And then you've got some of the wilder areas on the western coast that is not quite into West Sonoma Coast. So you got all these different areas, and Sonoma Coast has taken on. They're starting to subdivide that even now. But Russian River is really a special location, and we're really pleased to have properties that are respecting the Cabernet varieties, among other things, that actually are cool enough to have the cool influences as well as the warm influences to ripen that fruit.
Mm-hmm. And Dan, talk more about the barrel tasting and auction and
well,
such, because it's a huge deal here.
It's a big deal. What the winemakers will focus on, and unfortunately, those of you who are listening to us now and missed it this year, don't worry about it. It's coming back next year. Next year will be year number 11. This is the 10th year today. And this auction, basically what they do is the wineries get together and decide on making special lots. And these are very special lots because they're unique. You'll never see this wine anywhere. And you can't buy the wine except at today's auction, for example.
Yeah, right.
And there's five cases. The minimum size is five cases. And the maximum size, as far as I remember, is 10. And some of the wineries are making five-case lots. Some are making 10-case lots. Some years, but in 2006, I bought a five-case lot. I still have a bunch of that. I don't know why I bought five cases of wine. But anyway, fabulous.
We know why.
Well, because I'm crazy. All right,
I know
but anyway, but the fun part about it is that once you buy a lot, here's the secret. They don't tell you this. They don't tell you this. Once you buy a lot, so you decide you're going to buy the Zinfandel lot from Pedroncelli, for example, just as a name. So you buy that wine and you find out who Julie Pedroncelli is. She's not selling this and walking away. She knows who bought that lot from her. So you get to know Julie. And then for the rest of your life, you're friends with Julie. So it really becomes, it's a community thing. And a lot of the buyers are local. You don't see, this is an auction that doesn't bring in people from, you know, Toronto and Washington, D.C. You're going to have a lot of locals here,
exactly.
including restaurants and mm-hmm. including hotels and private clubs. And so a lot of the buyers here are people who want their personal affiliation with wineries, and that's why they go into the auction and buy these lots. We had some lots today that were really spectacular. I went to the tasting yesterday up at Bacchus Landing up in Healdsburg. Walked around for
boy, that's an amazing place.
That's a fabulous
oh,
location.
Oh, man.
And this was outdoor tasting. It was just wonderful. And, boy, you were there.
Yeah.
And just give us your thoughts about that tasting. That was impressive.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's a great event. You know, like, Miriam's really happy to be a part of it. But it's a great way to learn your winemakers also. So it's one way that, you know, on our end, we get to use our creativity. And so they're all unique wines that are, you know, the first time we've ever done them. Miriam did a old Wintake clone, single clone Chardonnay that we call Down East to tie it into the sailing term from the East Coast. But yeah, we have a lot of fun with it, and you get to do something really unique and kind of showcase some of your skills that you've learned over the years and make something new. You know, we produce all these wines all the time, but being creative is fun.
So what did you just pour me? This looks fabulous.
Yeah, so I just poured the 21 Cab Franc just for Dan. You know,
okay.
I knew that he was a big fan of that. So it's one of our favorites at the winery. It's a very small little block that we have.
I can see why.
And we get to pick this at the perfect time. And so it's a slow ripening grape. And so the really unique part about it is that we let it hang for a long time, but it's got these pretty floral aspects to it, and it's smooth, and it's not overpowering, and it's just got a lot of complexity.
It is smooth and silky, and Dan, I love this.
I think Cabernet Sauvignon is a wonderful variety, but for some people, the tannins are too high. This Cabernet Franc has some of the personality of Cabernet Sauvignon, but it has more of the florals.
The floral, exactly.
It has more of the intensity in the mid-palate, and it doesn't have the astringency in the aftertaste.
No.
So if you like Cabernet, but you're bothered by those tannins, try this Miriam Cabernet Franc. This is absolutely delicious.
And the finish is staying with me, and now I'm hungry.
Yeah.
What should we order from the food cellar downstairs?
So, I mean, this wine actually goes with a lot of different things. Yeah. One of my favorite is kind of having a flank steak with this. I mean, it's something, yeah. but the lamb chops also do really well.
I usually bring up lamb and the lamb chops, man.
That's kind of where you would go. Yeah. So.
Now I'm getting hungry myself. You're not even getting me hungry.
But yes, so the Merriam's have a Greek influence, and so we do a lot of lamb at the winery for pickup parties. We're actually having our wine club pickup party this weekend, and the Cab Franc always pairs beautifully with it.
I haven't used this phrase in print, but I probably ought to. This is the Pinot Noir of Cabernet, because it's got the weight and the structure of the Pinot Noir, but it's got the flavors.
I can dig that.
I actually can dig that.
I think it's a delicious wine, but in addition, it's a good thing right now. It's under the radar. There are a lot of people who don't know anything about Cabernet Franc, and so because they don't know anything about it, they stay away from it. I mean, this is, you're probably not, what, how many cases do you make?
Do 150 cases of this.
That's it.
It disappears pretty quick.
Well, I was talking to a winemaker at lunch today. It was Bob Long. He said, this is a special place. And he said, not very many people understand some of what's going on here because we don't have the fame of some other regions. But there is some really interesting, if not dramatic, things going on. And Cabernet Franc is one of them. And I mentioned to him, one of my favorite wines in this whole world is a wine that you probably never had, Bob. And he said, what's that? I said, New York State Cabernet Franc. And he said, never had one. And I said, well, I can't get my hands on them, but when I'm back in New York, that's what I buy and stick in my suitcase.
And why is it different than California?
Because it's very, very tart. It's really, it's got much more acidity than our wines do.
Is that because it's cold?
It's cold, yeah. And but when I bring it home, the first thing I do is think about how to prepare some really interesting salmon and pour Cabernet Franc from New York with the salmon, and it's like flavors made in heaven. By and large, a lot of this doesn't exist anymore. You can't find a lot of Merlot in Russian River.
Not a lot, no. It's sad.
California Wine Country, brought to you by Rodney Strong Vineyards, Davis Bynum Wines, William Weiss from Merriam Vineyards is our guest today, and of course Dan Berger, and Melissa, our general manager and the greatest general manager I've worked for in 51 years.
One thing I really want to touch on too is the staff is great. We have a great staff that's in the tasting room that, you know, your experience would be fantastic when you come out. They take top-notch care of you the whole time. And the family's great, too. If the Merriams are in town, it's a pleasure to meet him. Peter and Diane are always walking around. Evan's actually in charge. He's running the son is running the winery. So it's a family affair, and they're all very involved, and it's a passion of theirs, and it's really fun to watch.
And you're really only 5 minutes from Healdsburg. I mean, it's really serious.
Really close to Healdsburg,
yeah,
absolutely.
So if you go before lunch, after lunch, whatever, you're so far. I mean, you feel like you're in the country, but you're really only 5 minutes from some of those great restaurants in Healdsburg, and that's really it's a very enjoyable place to visit and to enjoy those fabulous wines. I think the nice part about this is that the staff at Merriam is smart enough to know that you just don't pull a cork and pour it for the consumer who's walking in the tasting room. They will know that if the wine has just been opened, it's going to need some aeration. So you'll actually get a bottle that's probably been open for a few hours, and that will help to understand those varietal aromatics. And it's, to me, that's what wine is all about. It's a living product, and it needs to evolve.
Exactly. You know. And we've talked about this for 20 years on this show.
And you beat me up over it.
William Weiss from Merriam Vineyards. It's merriamvineyards.com. Again, merriamvineyards.com. Check them out. William Weiss, thank you so much. Great to see you.
It's great seeing you. And thank you.